Anybody here watch the weather?
Nope.
No? You don't see the weatherman? How many times have they predicted storms and then it's just a little bit of rain? How goofy is that, huh? I remember taking my car over to DFW Airport because they were predicting hail. I'm like, I got room for one car in my garage, so I'm going to take one over to DFW and park it in the parking garage so the car doesn't get destroyed. It's cheaper than paying the deductible, right? So that was my logic. That night, we got a few sprinkles, and I was pretty irritated the next day. I mean, I'm glad we didn't get hail, but at the same time, it's like, come on, weatherman. Well, what is true about the storms in Texas is they can come out of nowhere. And we all these weathermen try to predict when these storms are coming or how they're coming. But often they just come out of nowhere and they hit us without any notice whatsoever. I'll never forget the time we had a tornado down off Mill Street. It was, I think, a couple of years ago. Never even heard the sirens. And supposedly a tornado came and hit a business down there. They come out of nowhere. Yeah, it was a while back. And so today I want to talk a little bit about how storms in our lives can just come out of nowhere and blindside us and hit us. And today I want us to turn to the book of Matthew chapter 8. So Matthew chapter 8, the Gospel of Matthew. And we're going to look at verses 23 through 27 today. Now what this particular text is talking about is Jesus in a real life situation in a storm with his disciples. But at the same time, it's a metaphor in terms of the storms in our life and how Jesus can react to those storms. So if y'all would take a look at verses 23 through 27. Do I have anybody that would like to read this morning?
Okay. As he got into the boat, his disciples followed. Suddenly, a violent storm arose on the sea, so that the boat was being swamped by the waves. But he was sleeping. So the disciples came and woke him, saying, "Lord, save us, we're going to die." But he said to them, "Why are you fearful, you of little faith?" Then he got up and rebuked the winds and sea, and there was great calm. The men were amazed and asked, "What kind of man is this? Even the wind and wind and sea obey him."
That is such an awesome story. Now, I've read that many times in my life, and I don't know if y'all know, you boys don't obviously, but I was in the U.S. Coast Guard many years ago. And I was on a 180-foot ship that was in Lake Superior. Lake Superior is like an ocean. Have y'all ever seen the Great Lakes?
Yep.
It is massive. It is like a big ocean. And I was on a boat that actually came up into a storm. And I don't know if you've ever been in the water in the middle of nowhere and a storm comes up on you. It's pretty scary. It's pretty intense. And you have seas breaking over the bow. And you have the boat tossing back and forth. And boy, it was a time like that that I said, I wish Jesus was on this boat right now. He could rebuke those waves and those storms. But unfortunately, he wasn't at the time. And we hit a reef and we began to take on water and sank in Lake Superior. It's now a national dive site. And so I am part of history that took place several years ago. But I'll tell you what, it is intense. And here I was in the Coast Guard, which we were trained to save lives. We were trained to save ships. We were trained to work in stressful situations and be able to handle these kind of things when storms came. And we did. We handled it well. I'm thinking about the disciples. These guys were just fishermen. They probably didn't even have life jackets at that time. They had no hope. If that boat were to go down, they were going down too, and that was it. I don't care how good of a swimmer you are, if you're in a storm in water like that, and depending on the temperature of the water, your chances of survival aren't very good. And so they're looking at Jesus who's sleeping. I'm like, okay, how do you sleep through that? I've been on a ship tossing back and forth. There's no way I'm getting any sleep on that boat. And here Jesus is sleeping. He's sleeping. Can you picture that for a minute? The disciples are waking him up, panicked, fearing for their lives, which they should be. And Jesus responds to him. It's an amazing story. You see, we all face trials in our life where we need a life preserver. We need something to grab onto. The disciples didn't have any of that. They were looking for what can we hold on to? What can pull us out of this storm? Some of these trials we can prepare for, but some just come out of nowhere. You know that firsthand, friend. They come out of nowhere. Some we can see above the horizon, some we can't. They're right around the corner, ready to grab us, right? It's hard to be prepared for all these things that come into our life. Situations that blindside us day and day and day. Cindy and I going through this business venture that we're on right now. Man, there's a lot of things we didn't know. Every day we're hit with something. And it just, it can knock you down, right? If you just keep getting punched in the gut day after day, it can just really bring you down. Well, here the disciples were in a situation like that where they didn't know what to do. This trial was real. They could seriously die in this situation. And they were hopeless. They didn't know what to do. One thing is for sure in this situation, in our situation, is none of it caught God off guard. Whatever trial hit you or hit me or hit you, it wasn't by surprise. God knew it was coming. God knew it was coming. It was no surprise. It was no surprise to Jesus that night that the storm was going to hit. Maybe he was using it for his good glory, his good purposes. Scripture teaches us clearly that God knows all. He knows the past, the present, he knows the future. And he's a powerful, sovereign God. In a sense, we learn that God is actually timeless, that he is not bound or governed by the time that we're bound by. In fact, he created time. Sometimes I wish he would have given us more than 24 hours a day. He's not governed by the natural laws that you and I are governed by. And I'm thankful for that. That means that he's over all these things. The psalmist wrote this in Psalm 90, verse 4. He said, 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. 1,000 years is nothing to God. Man, a year seems like forever to me. Imagine 1,000 years being just like that. He knows the trials are coming before we do. He knows they're coming. Sometimes God ordains them. You ever thought about that? Sometimes God ordains them and he uses them for his good purposes, for his glory. Now, how does he do that, Tim? Well, I want to talk a little bit about that because sometimes that's very confusing for us to understand that God would allow something in our life to happen. That's not good, that sets us off guard, that brings us down. Sometimes it's not always God that's doing this. Sometimes Satan comes in with his own plan, and he does it to bring us down and drive us away from God. And sometimes it's just the natural world in which we live plays its course on us. Regardless, one thing we can never forget is that God is always in control. Amen. He is sovereign, omniscient, all-knowing, all-powerful. Well, the disciples seemed to have forgotten that night in the boat. They serve a big God. They quickly lost faith, and I can understand why. When I was about to take on water and sink in the middle of Lake Superior in December when it was frigid out and thinking, this is the end of my life. This is it for me. My faith got really weak all of a sudden. I wasn't thinking God was going to rescue me in this situation. But guess what? He did. When all seemed hopeless, panic and fear set in. In their minds, faith wasn't going to save them. Faith wasn't going to save him. Well, apparently they thought maybe Jesus had enough faith that it could save him. So they turned to him quickly and they made their request known to Jesus. They came to him and said, "Lord, save us." Jesus got disturbed that they said that to him. Here's something I want us to learn from that situation. In the middle of hopelessness, in the middle of doubt, in the middle of I'm about to lose my life, in the middle of a situation that seemed very dark and that there was no hope, they turned to God. And God responded. You see, prayer is the tool that God gives us to make our requests known to Him. And God answers prayer. If God is all-knowing, why should we pray? Well, there's a couple reasons. In Matthew 6:8, Jesus tells us that your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. So it's very clear that prayer is not made so that God can find out what we need. God already knows, right? I said He was all-knowing. So why do we pray? Well, God wants us to pray because prayer expresses our trust in God. I have seen lives change because of prayer. I've seen diseases healed because of prayer. Prayer is our way of coming to God and trusting in God and saying, "God, we know You're able. And I'm going to place my faith in You, Lord. I can't do this, You can." It's our humble submission to God and giving Him authority over all things. And claiming that authority that He has over all things. All that we think or feel about God comes in the expression of prayer. There have been many of dark times that I've been in, and all I could do was turn to prayer. And when I turned to that prayer, all of a sudden something changed. Something changed in me, something changed around me. All of a sudden I knew that God was at work. That I'd called the armies of heaven down simply by trusting God and asking for His help.
Well, sometimes even just saying His name because you can't say all prayer works too.
Absolutely. Yeah. Amen. Amen. It's God's way for us to view Him as our Father. Heavenly Father. And it's this same God who desires a relationship with us. He wants us to talk to Him. He wants us to trust Him. He wants us to build a relationship. And through prayer is how we do that. The first words of the Lord's Prayer found in Matthew 6:9 is, "Our Father who art in heaven." Jesus referred to Him as a Father, a loving Father who He depended completely on. He's a wise Father. The most wisdom ever known is found in God alone. We acknowledge that He rules over all from His heavenly throne. And so in those times of trial, prayer is our first response. And God does answer prayer. The Bible tells us very clearly that God invites us to bring our requests to Him. If anybody has a YouVersion up, if you want to look at Philippians 4:6 and read that.
I've got it.
Okay.
"Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God."
Amen. That's a very good one. Do not be anxious about anything. Anybody here ever anxious? Mm-hmm. Gives you the solution to that right here. Every situation by prayer and petition with what?
Thanksgiving.
Present your request to God. He invites us. He says, "Come. Bring your request to Me. Bring them to Me." In the midst of the storms, I have learned so well now that the answer is prayer. We pray. We acknowledge that God is in control. He is in control. He is sovereign. And in the storm, the disciples turned to Jesus. As the waves began to fill the boat, And if you've never been in that situation, I assure you don't want to be in that situation. The boat begins to capsize. It begins to fill up and submerge. And I'm guessing they didn't have bilge pumps at this time. And they cried out to the Lord and they said, "Lord, save us." Jesus was just waiting. He's waiting patiently. "Come make your request known to me, and I'll show you my sovereignty." When we ask God, He does respond. And I'm so glad He does. The disciples act as if though Jesus had abandoned them. And I'm sure there are times in our lives where we feel the same way, right? We can pray, we can pray, we can pray, and we don't see the results we want. And we think God has abandoned us. He hasn't abandoned us. It's very clear that He's with us every hour, every waking day. Jesus works things out in His own time. Although He was asleep, He was there. And at the right time, Jesus decided to get up from His nap, shake the water out of His hair, and rebuke the disciples. Before He did anything else, He said, "You have little faith." Jesus tells us in Luke 11:9-10, He says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be opened." There are so many invitations for us to come to the Lord in the Word of God. They say, "Come to me, come to me, come to me. Make your requests known." God's just waiting. We read in Revelation of this incense being lifted up to heaven, and there are the prayer of the saints. God delights in our prayer. When I read this story, I look at Jesus and I'm thinking, okay, these guys are about to die. They're scared. It's a stressful situation. They probably don't have a cabin to go get it, take cover in. It's probably lightning around them. And instead of Jesus responding, He says, "You have little faith." Before He rebukes the storm, before He quiets the storm, He's teaching His disciples something here. Jesus takes the weirdest opportunities or the weirdest times to take an opportunity to teach a lesson. Like, "Jesus, can you rebuke us after you've calmed the storm, please? Can we get through the storm and then you can have your word with us?" But no, Jesus says, "You have little faith," before He does anything else. In James chapter 1, verse 6, this is the brother of Jesus. He says, "But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like the wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind." You ever come in prayer and just, you're going through the motion just because? Say, "I know God's not going to do this, but I'm going to pray anyway." Yeah, I've done it too. And yet, God says, "Hey, if you're going to come to me, don't have doubt. Come to me in faith. Come to me in faith." God's plan and His purpose is always prevail. We must come to Him in faith. We must trust that God can do the things He says He can do. We must trust that God's intentions for us are good intentions. You read all throughout Scripture, through thousands of years of history, and the God of Israel has always come through and did what He said He was going to do every single time. I wish I had that kind of track record. There are times where I've failed to come through when I said I was going to come through. But with God, never. He has always delivered on His promises. And if that's not something you can trust, I don't know what is. Faith and endurance will see us through any trial. Faith and endurance. Those two go hand in hand sometimes. Sometimes God allows us to go through these trials a little bit longer than we want to. And in those trials, if we begin to use it and realize that God's at work, and ask God, what do you want me to learn in this situation? And allow God to move in your life during that time. I've been in some bleak situations that seemed like they were never going to end. I'll never forget the time where I was out of work and I was going on month 7. The entire economy took a big hit and my industry was not doing well. And I had maybe 3 interviews in 7 months. It's pretty scary. I remember writing my last mortgage check going, I don't know what I'm going to do at this point. I'm going to sell the house. I'm going to buy a tent. There's a nice field back here. I'm going to figure something out. It was right then that God showed up and I got a job offer just out of nowhere. Last check, last bit of money I had. It's about to be all gone. God showed up, and that's just one of many times. And I got a job like that. Huh?
He's rarely early, but never late.
Exactly. Exactly. We just got to trust him through the process here. I remember the psalmist in Psalm 30, verse 5, this is one of my favorite ones. He said, weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. Sometimes we got to go through that pain and that crying in order to find the rejoice in the morning. But it's coming. That day is coming. We are going to find victory in all of our trials through Christ. You know, I think about the storms here in Texas. Yes, they can be destructive. But imagine what the outcome is after the storm. Think about the things that bloom. Think about the things that grow. Think about the way God uses the rain and the storms to produce even a healthier crop, a healthier plant outside. Sometimes we go through those storms because God's refining us. God is shaping us. God is molding us. And when we come out, we're going to come out a whole lot better. Right? So if Jesus can stand up in a boat in the middle of the storm and rebuke the winds and the waves and bring calmness, don't you think he can do that in your life? It's very clear that our response is prayer. If we turn to God in these situations and truly pray to him in faith and believe his word, and trust him through it, God is going to see us through these trials. We need to turn to him just like the disciples and say, Lord, save us. He's just waiting. God's just waiting. He's like, come to me. Make your requests known. And I'll show you how sovereign I am. And I'll show you how much I love you. He taught his disciples the importance of faith. When we pray in faith, because without faith, we are in sinking sand. We can't go to him in doubt. We go to him in faith, because with faith in Christ, we are unshakable. Unshakable. All right, let me pray.